Welcome to The Lingerie Stories, an uplifting community of storytellers. I'm Dee Dee Crosslin.
Hi everyone, it's Dee Dee from The Lingerie Stories, and it is the new year. It's 2018, so welcome to the new year, you guys. And this is actually my first podcast of the year. So today we're going to talk about one of my favorite interview topics, and that's the entrepreneurial journey of a lingerie brand. I especially like talking to kind of the up-and-comers because I find their vision and inspiration to be fresh and unique and authentic to their image. So today I have Colette Khalil, who is the founder of the lingerie brand Colette and Sebastian. So hi, Colette.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Let's start by telling everyone a bit more about your background before you delved into the lingerie industry. And you know what, to me, after reading your bio, you seem to kind of have that hustle from the get-go growing up. And it seems, you know, a lot of that was influenced from your parents. Can you elaborate on this?
Yes. So my original background, I studied business, finance, international business, and economics at Queens College in New York. And my original plan was to go into finance. But as I was growing up, like as I kept going, I was like, okay, finance, like I don't own that like dress suit that you wear to work or those button down shirts. Like it just wasn't me.
Right.
But definitely having a business background meant I could do anything, including starting my own company, because I think it's more business than design. But both my parents are entrepreneurs. They're both immigrants from Iran. And they're both entrepreneurs. So growing up, I always see my parents like hustling, and my dad works weekends if he has to and late nights. And he just showed me like, if you want your own company, this is how it's going to go. And like, it's going to be stressful. It's going to be hard. But like, if you want it, you can do it. So I thought when I started college, it would be cool if I did three majors in 3 years, because I kind of didn't know what I wanted.
No biggie.
Three majors, 3 years. It sounds really good.
Pretty good.
In my first semester, I decided I was going to go abroad to Florence just for like a change, like no business classes, no finance, no economics, just like something fun, like cooking class, Italian class, like traveling, just like a break.
I love that.
Really, I just needed a break.
And then that's when you fell in love with fashion, right? And you, and that kind of led you to where you are today. So tell us more about that. And also I want you to tell us, like, when you did fall in love with fashion, why was it lingerie over other types of fashion?
So when I got to live in Florence, I lived in Piazza della Repubblica, which is like next to little shops and like the little stands outside that sell little toys that are made. And like, I don't know, you just got to walk around and you have like a whole new love for everything. The people, the way they dress in Europe, the environment, the culture, the architecture. And it just like opens a new world for me. And it showed me I can have the business, a business major while doing fashion. And then with lingerie, it's something that's fun and beautiful. And whatever I do, it'll always keep me young. Like no matter how old I get, I'm still doing something that's always fun. I'm always going to like have the chance to get playful with it and crazy. And it's something that no matter what, you're always young at heart. And I don't know, it's like this passion that I have now.
It totally makes sense to me. I kind of try to live that way as well. But, you know, when you came back to New York with this appreciation and love, like you're in Italy, you're seeing exquisite laces and fabrics. And like you said, I mean, the people in Italy, they know how to do it right. They dress amazing. So you get back to New York with this new vision. Then you think, okay, now what? What are your first steps?
When I got back to New York, I still had one semester of college to finish. So I took all my 6 business classes in one semester and I finished. And then I took like a month or two and I was talking to different people. I was looking at the showrooms all around the city, all the lingerie showrooms. I come from a Middle Eastern background. So a lot of the Persians do own the fabric stores in the city. So like they definitely give you advice if you ask or will help you or this is like this and this is that. But in the beginning, my dad's friend goes, how are you going to handle rejection? What if you walk into a showroom and they're just like, no, bye. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like the boys, on to the next one.
I love that.
When I started, I agreed to, nothing will hurt my ego.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's on to the next. Like, you can't get upset. You could cry for 5 minutes, but that's it. On to the next. And you can't have a partner. Those were like the 3 rules we lived by when I wanted to start Colette and Sebastian.
Okay.
So when I came home, I started Pinteresting boards of inspiration of lingerie, thinking, oh, this is going to be so easy. Like, I'll hire a designer to tech pack for me, and someone will source fabric, and oh, like whatever. And then someone's like, oh, the fabric show and the lingerie show is in Shanghai. So they're like, you have to go to Shanghai. Like, you have to look for a factory. That's how it goes.
Right.
I was like, okay, that's what everyone's saying. Dad, will you come with me? So, like, I'm not going to go alone. And he's my moral support. So we go to Shanghai together. And I went to this fabric show. And I quickly learned I will not manufacture in China. I didn't need to go to China.
Okay.
Didn't need these Pinterest boards.
Right.
But it showed me this is how you mess up and this is how you're going
to
learn.
And that's so just it. Like at the beginning, that's kind of how you learn. You have to make mistakes. And I like your attitude from the get-go that you're kind of like, yeah, failure, bring it on. I'm going to learn from it. So, okay. And then, like you said, so you start sourcing materials and you did find a trusted manufacturer. Keep telling me more about all your research and development because it seems like it happened pretty quick because you launched your brand just in 2017 at Curve Expo in February, right?
Yeah.
So, keep telling us more about your prep.
I started taking night classes at FIT. They have continuing education courses because I do believe if you want your company, you have to know a little bit of everything. I can't do everything, but I have to know a little bit.
Right.
So like pattern making, I still probably don't know how to make a pattern, but I could look at it and understand it a little. And sewing class, I didn't know how to use a sewing machine, but I had to learn. Mm-hmm. So now I could do that and I learned a lot. And then I learned go to the fabric shows in New York.
Yes. No passport needed.
No. So I learned the fabric shows and factories. I learned, I don't know, timing was bad. When I started looking for factories, it was right before Christmas break and I was using Europe. Mm. So they take off for a month.
Right.
So it was just the timing, but I would just WhatsApp them and consistently email them. I had like a pitch. And that's it. I would just copy and paste it to every factory there was. And whoever answered. Then I would get samples from their own collection to see what it was like.
The quality, right?
And then I would send them mine. And then very quickly I learned you can hand sketch a picture, send it to your factory, and they will make your sample. They will make your prototype. They will tell you their suppliers. You don't need to do it yourself. And it took me a long time, though, to find my factory.
That probably makes you feel better, though, kind of knowing the whole process, like, again, making those types of mistakes. But now you kind of really understand the very beginning steps.
Yeah, now I can honestly say I figured it all out. It took me a long time. At some points, I'm like, why am I doing this? Let me just go into finance. I don't need this. Let me just get married. Like, that's what the Middle Eastern culture is about. Like, I'm at that age. I could get married in our culture. And I don't need to run a company. I'll be a housewife. But then I would cry for 5 minutes, have an emotional breakdown, and back at it. I used to have alarms at 3 a.m., 5 a.m., and 6 a.m. Because with Europe, it's a 7-hour time difference, and their workday ends at 10 a.m. New York time. So I would wake up in the middle of the night with my eyes half open, and I would email everyone back.
Wow, that's good.
But now I'm lucky. They wait till the end of their workday, and when their kids are asleep, we talk and we go over everything. But in the beginning, I give up my sleep and my sanity to start.
We kind of have to, you know, it's that 24/7 especially when you're passionate about something. So, you know, you've done a lot of the research, but it's also about relationships. So how did you form those relationships and the communications that you needed for design and for, you know, the rest of the package?
All my factories, everyone, my suppliers, my factories, everyone is I consider them family.
Very cool.
Christmas presents, if they have little kids that are learning English because nobody's here, we send them like those little books that when we were kids used to fill in the words to like learn English and like read little books. We send those to them. And I don't know, one of them needs like an iPhone charger. She's like, it's really expensive here. So I just have one. I was like, who has one phone charger? So I mailed her a charger.
Oh.
We have everyone on WhatsApp. That's really important. You have to have everyone on WhatsApp, Viber. Straight email does not work. But you just learn about their life. It's not just 10 a.m. workday's over. Don't text me. Don't call me. Don't email me. Like, you learn about their kids. They dance for you on Skype. And they send you photos when they travel around Europe. And you just have this bond and this connection and a friendship. And I don't know. I'm so lucky. I think that's the huge thing of not working with outsourcing into China and places like that. I wouldn't have that relationship I have.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, it does reflect out from what you're putting out, because I really do love what you're designing and what you're coming out with. So let's now move on to the brand itself. So it's Colette and Sebastian. So now I get the Colette part, but who or what is the influence with Sebastian?
Sebastian's still a little secret to the company.
Is it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to maybe try to get it from you off air. That's good. A little secret in the company is always good. So let's talk more about your brand. So your brand is sexy. There's no doubt there. But you know what? I love how your vision is to really appeal to the modern day marvel of a woman. So it's like both feminine and empowering, which I love. And I like that your mission statement, continuing to educate women that being sexy and being beautiful for themselves is not only okay, but important to recognize within themselves. Can you kind of talk more to why you really wanted to have this as your mission statement and why it was meaningful to you?
Especially now, when I first made my company, it meant a lot to me, but now too with the Me Too movement,
yes,
woman becoming empowering and how being feminine is so important. But it also taught me, I don't know, I think originally because I wanted to go into finance and like a Wall Street job, you just see how like the men run everything. I just hear stories like, oh, the men went to play golf, but the girls stayed in the office and stuff like that. So I just felt this like need to make everyone feel empowering and that they could be the CEOs of those companies. And just because you work in finance or you're a lawyer, your job isn't as fun and artsy, you could still wear like this empowering lingerie underneath that button down shirt to work.
The suit that you hate to wear.
I don't even own one. So.
Okay, so let's expand on that. So, you know, you say that feminine and empowering, but you also don't categorize that as you can look like just one way. You have this intention to, you know, already enhance the beautiful women we are, but you offer a lot of options for us to discover maybe like an entirely new version of ourselves, because you kind of have five different categories in your brand. Tell us more about the importance on that direction to you, and then more specifically, tell us about each of those five categories, okay?
I think each category is like a little different vibe, a little different feel. Our classic collection, we use Italian laces. I think it's the most beautiful bra we make. To me, it's like my wedding day bra. I told my factory when she made it, I'm like, for my wedding day. She goes, when we make your bra, every step of the way, we put love into it, which you have to sell it with love and you have to wear it with love. So that's classic to us. You feel beautiful. Our delicate details collection, it's just this beautiful eyelash lace. And to me, it's like summers in New York City when you go to brunch, it's like the bra you wear underneath for Sunday is just lounging. Our Colette Noir collection, you could wear it under your shirt and like make it a really cool accessory to your outfit, or you could wear it in the bedroom, or it goes from the boardroom to the bedroom, I guess. You could wear it to work.
That's a pretty sexy one, though. The boardroom, really? You guys are going to have to check out her Colette Noir. It's pretty hot.
it gives you the option to start with something small like a harness if you're like just like learning, but then you can go to like something more crazy like one of our bras to wear under over your shirts. It depends on the person, but
yeah, I like that crossover too with the over as well, because that's kind of still so much on trend.
When I see people doing it, it just looks so beautiful. Yeah. Like you see girls of all shapes and sizes and everything just tagging us on Instagram wearing it, and we're so happy.
Yeah, no, it's great. Okay, so that's the three. Two more.
Oh, our bridal is a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of all of our collections. We take all of our whites that we think would make for the perfect bridal presents, mix and match them together into our bridal collection, and then hopefully coming soon in the near future, our noir collection will be coming in ivory for bridal.
Oh, cool.
Add a little fun. And then we have our Pure Temptations collection, which is just this all-around scallop lace bra, and it has a little bit of stretch to it. It is the most beautiful, comfortable thing ever, and I didn't even think it existed in the market anymore because nobody does all-around scallop lace. Like, some of them are on the straps, too, and just the way, like, on the back, It's scallops. It gets you so happy. It makes everyone's booty look beautiful and the bra.
I'm in. Sold.
The garter belts, the bras. It's made for like a perfect everyday bra that's still comfy and beautiful. And it doesn't have to be boring. Like, we make a nude bra in that collection, and it's just perfect. It's still lace, but it's a flat lace, so you can wear it under your t-shirts. And it's beautiful. It's not some grandma-looking bra that's in your mom's underwear drawer.
No, you definitely don't have that look to your line. I do like that you embrace some of the classic elements, though, but you just turn it up a notch, like whether it be, you know, a little bit more of a modern take on a traditional style. Even your bralettes. Love your bralettes. And, of course, those are still completely on trend, not going anywhere. You know, you do a lot of traditional colors. Like, you own the black, you own the white. And then you just kind of do like little pops of colors here and there. But you're not, you know, that's what I really love about it, is that it kind of has that crossover with the traditional but into, you know, your modern take. And it's very much unique, which sounds like it doesn't really make sense, but it does. So with your intention with these categories, are those five categories to remain, and then you're just going to change out the styles per season?
I think we're going to keep the idea and the vision of the company, but probably with new collections or add to some collections. We just added to Colette Noir for the holidays. We added the reds, and then we added a few new bondage pieces. And I think we're going to bring in some new collections though, but keep with the idea of the brand and the vision of how we want everyone to be bold, alluring, beautiful, inspiring, the ultimate muse. We're always to that.
Yeah, that is key. That's great. So since launching in February 2017, so that's almost a year now, how has it been? Yeah, congratulations. How's it been, and what feedback have you been getting?
It's been so good. I'm so blessed. I'm so happy, so proud of all my accomplishments. When I look back, I couldn't be prouder to call Colette and Sebastian my own company. Feedback has always been positive. Our buyers are like, our customers are asking for new colors, or can you make, for like our noir collection, can you make a leash of some sort? But it has to be from your brand, because they want to keep it within the brand. So we're always getting this positive feedback, and we haven't had any issues, and I'm so happy and so lucky.
Oh, you are lucky. They will come. You know that, right?
No, don't tell me that.
Okay, I know. Downer. So what are your next steps to grow from here?
We're just looking for new buyers to introduce the company to, attending curve shows, bringing new collections, hopefully within the near future, larger stores, maybe department stores, if we're lucky.
No, it's exciting. Good. Okay, so I always end my podcast with this one question, and it is, what is your favorite lingerie story? And it can be pertaining to you or anyone else.
I think it's my factory story.
Okay.
I asked her why she started a lingerie factory. Like, she told me she used to work on cruise ships. She was married and she was working on cruise ships. So I go, how'd you start a lingerie factory? Because she doesn't know how to sew a bra. She knows all the steps, but she can't sew a bra. And I asked her. She goes, women needed to feel beautiful, and there was nothing there, especially for larger women. For plus size bras, she goes, nothing existed. So I needed to start this factory. And it was the time to start the factory. And she's like, every step of the way, there's love in every bra we make, and we love what we do, and we make women feel beautiful. And it just made me so happy. And her story, and to see how successful her company has been, I think it's a 10-year-old factory now, and it's small. I think it's 30 people. It just made me so happy, and it inspires me that I want to design lingerie that makes women feel just as beautiful, just as empowering as when she started her factory. And knowing she puts love in every step of the way, especially in making my collection for me, shows me that I'm going to put in the same love every step of the way till it gets to my customers.
And that's what I love with that answer. Honestly, I've seen a lot of lingerie brands, and when I did see yours, it really exudes that authenticity, kind of what you're trying to put out. You really are connecting with your mission statement. So I just kind of really love hearing that it stems all the way back to the people who are sewing them as well, which is so special and unique. So thank you so much for doing this podcast with us. And I know that a lot of people are going to be checking out your website right after they hear this. So how can people reach out to you, and how can people find you on social media?
At Colette and Sebastian on Instagram. Facebook. You can email us at info@coletteandsebastian.com.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Well, great. And we'll talk to you soon.
Check us out at thelaundrystories.com and see all the ways you can connect, see, and hear our stories. And if you sign up to our newsletter, we can keep you updated on future guests, tips and tricks, and upcoming contests. But most importantly, if you have a good story or you know somebody who has one, please email us at info@thelaundrystories.com and let us share your story. Talk to you soon.